kind of stay put. Anyway, good morning. Good morning, everyone. I should have said that to begin with. As we start this morning, this fourth Advent, and we will start in Galatians, Galatians 5, 22, 23. And as you're turning to that text this morning, like, well, this is really far away from the birth of Christ. Where's Mary and Joseph at in this? But this morning, we're looking at, we've lit the candle of peace. This is that Sunday. And so what better place to go to Scripture regarding peace than in Galatians when we read the fruits of the Spirit. And so Galatians 5, 22 through 23, it says, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Father God, this morning we've come together to worship you. That's the only reason we come here. That should be the only reason we come here, is to worship you and to give you honor and praise. For you are an awesome God. You are the God. And I thank you for this gift that you have given us, your Son. And I pray that we don't forget the real reason for this season, receiving that ultimate gift in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I just ask for, you know where I've been this weekend, so I just ask for strength, Father, this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. In 1862, April 6th of 1962, there was a small church. It was called Shiloh Church. And it was impossible for them to conduct a service because during that time, the Civil War was in full rage. So it was impossible to have church services. And the thing about it is the name given to this encounter, this battle between the North and the South was the Battle of Shiloh. And since the word Shiloh means peace, it's almost as though the battle was named the Battle of Peace. Sounds rather strange, doesn't it? Peace and war, they're opposites. They have nothing in common. Just as strange is the fact that during this time we celebrate the coming of the Prince of Peace. We give gifts that speak nothing of peace, like the video games. You know, and I'm not beating you up for video games. I'm not a hater, all right. But I'm just saying, we celebrate the Prince of Peace, but the gifts we give are sometimes on a disc, and there's nothing but peace. There's no peace on them. And so, all right, I'll go back to the day. You know, we had G.I. Joes, all right, and little tanks and stuff, but. Playing little war games, but it's just kind of bizarre that during the celebration of the Prince of Peace, we almost advocate or promote war. Stranger yet, it is the fact that many gather to celebrate Christmas when there are wars within your family. There's a war between your family. Maybe there's war in your household. War at your workplace. War with your neighbors. Peace and war are not compatible. This is the thought in mind. So let's examine this peace, that this fruit of the Spirit, so that with the Lord's blessing, we will be able to celebrate Christmas at peace with God and others. So, 2 points. There's only going to be 2 points this morning. The first one is, peace is to believed. All right? Peace is to believed. First, we need to understand what the angel meant when he announced to the shepherds that due to Jesus' birth, there would be peace on earth. And since there have been wars since that angel made that proclamation, obviously the peace that of Christmas isn't dealing with outward matters. In fact, referring to outward peace, Jesus said in Luke 12:51, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division." At first glance, this sounds like a contradiction of the angel's message to the shepherds. If peace and war aren't compatible, how can Jesus, the Prince of Peace, cause division? How can that be? It is true that Christ came to bring peace. Peace, listen to me, peace between God and the believer. Peace among people. Yet the inevitable result of Christ's coming is conflict. Conflict between Christ's followers and those who don't follow Christ. I tried to put that as politically correct as I could. There's only two teams. There's his team and the other team. Which team are you on? Conflict between Christian followers and devil followers. The spiritual conflict becomes more evident each passing year, as whether in schools, whether there's you can't pray in school, or you can't bring your Bible. They don't want you to have Bible studies, but they'll let you read the Quran there. They focus on that. That's totally backwards. And even during the Christmas season, did you hear me say this? The Christmas season, not the holiday season, the Christmas season. It seems each year more and more people are trying to take Christ out of Christmas. It is not happy holidays. It is Christmas. And when people say that to me, I don't try to be like in their face, but they say, "Happy holidays." I'm like, "Merry Christmas." Sometimes they just need to be corrected. And we, children of God, are the ones to do it. Because if you just say, "Okay, yeah, happy holidays," and okay, you've helped take Christ out of Christmas. Similar conflicts can erupt between members of the same family. Some see the importance of spending time in God's house during Christmas. But some family members are like, "No." So, as a matter of fact, some will even be drugged on Christmas Eve, right? Because they're like, "Oh gosh, do I have to go?" And I tell, bring them anyway, all right? But even between families, there are those who are disgruntled about even coming to church and even giving 45 minutes to a Christmas Eve service, to the point they're saying, "I don't even agree with this whole Jesus thing. I'm not down with that." They refuse to pay tribute to the birth of our Savior. The true peace of Christmas, by its very nature, is limited to Christians only. Why do I say that? Because in John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. People of the world dream and scheme for peace, but the only real peace is in the heart of God's children. That's where you will find real peace, true peace. Anything else, they're imitating. The peace came that day that our Savior was born in Bethlehem. And as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 5:1, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior have peace in their souls. Peace through God, through the forgiveness of sin, which Christ won for the world on the cross. The peace is yours through faith. When you say, I believe in Him, you get that joy that only He can give you. That true peace. The world's definition of peace is when there's no conflict in life and all is going well, then that's peace. The absence of conflict, they're saying, is peace. That is not true peace. This is not the peace that Jesus Christ gives each and one of His children who believe in Him. That kind of peace only comes through our relationship with Him. Do you think that you can be married for any amount of time and be in a relationship and try to have peace if there isn't relationship? There's got to be that oneness, that coming together, that saying, I love you. I love you too. And yet sometimes there is conflict, all right. I'm not saying that there isn't conflict. But that being able to come together and say, come on. Let's have that peace that God gives each and every one of us between one another. We need to show and display that kind of peace to our fellow workers and to those ones that will have to be drugged here on Christmas Eve, all right? Point number two, peace to be shared. I read about a poster. It says, peace is not a season, is a way of life. Let me say that again. Peace is not a season, it's a way of life. Newsflash. Christians aren't at peace only during Christmas. Christians aren't at peace only when everything is going well. Christians are at peace always. Why then do we so often feel as though we are at war? The simple reason, and we have lost our focus during those times. It's great during a good time to say, yeah, right on, God, you rock. But how about those times when things aren't going so well? Do you still have that same peace in knowing that whatever is going on in your life that's not going well right now? Can you, when you're having financial issues, challenges, when you're having health issues, maybe relational issues, do you still say, yeah, God, you rock? Do you still say it? Do you still mean it? I mean, is it right here in your heart? Are you saying, you rock? I'm going through a hard time, but I have peace in knowing that my Father is not going to leave me here.
And that's the kind of peace that people are looking for, that real kind of peace displayed through you. They'll never see or hear about the peace of God coming here, because those same people that have challenges trying to drag them here, they're not going to come here. They're not going to see the peace of God here. They're going to see the peace of God where you're at, in your homes, in your workplace.
Matthew 6:33 says, "We are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these will be given to us as well." God's promises are clear. Make him your first priority, and he will bless you with peace. Make him the first. Outward pains, problems, and conflicts might surround us, but they can't take away our peace. We can join in with Paul when he says in Romans 8:38 through 39, a text that I know that you're all familiar with, but convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, church, please let that resonate in your lives, that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. Faith in Christ gives us such confidence. It allows us to be at peace inwardly, and even if outwardly we are in the world, when this world is going crazy, saying, you know what? I got peace. It's been several years when the United States were involved with the country of Somalia over there. I think some of us might be old enough to remember that. The United States, along with others, were sent to help to bring peace to that region so that those people that were starving, thousands of people were starving a day. They had no food. Well, there was food, but it wasn't getting to the people. You see, help was desperately needed because the people who had the food were the warlords, and you had to be committed to them and obey everything they said in order to get any food. They distributed as they felt. They kept the food for their own purposes. And everyone's saying, oh man, that's really bad. How could that happen? But I will tell you this. In spite of how things were bad in Somalia, do you know that in that nation they're not the only ones starving, because there are people right here starving. Not necessarily for food, but for peace. They can get up in the morning, throw a suit and tie on, get in a nice vehicle. They've got everything. But they don't have the peace of God. Untold numbers in our city, state, and country will celebrate Christmas without being at peace. They don't know that the child born in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago was the Prince of Peace. They are basing their future lives on their own attempts to be good. That human bar that we've set for ourselves. Well, I'm not like that, so I'm a lot better than that, so I'm definitely good, right? Thumbs up. Everything's good. This has nothing to do with the message, but every day, my bride, Wednesday through Friday, she watches two little kids, and she lets me know how they're doing, and we'll do this little FaceTime thing or Marco Polo. And so the only thing, they have like little emojis, one with thumbs up, a smiley face, a heart, a sad face, and there's something else. But the kids, they care nothing about what I have to say. All they want to see is a thumbs up. Thumbs up, thumbs up! Something about thumbs up. Something about having the peace of God. The true peace. He's like saying, come on, thumbs up, thumbs up. When you have the peace of God, it's thumbs up. Regardless of what you're going through, it's thumbs up. It's up to us to be able to share with our family and our friends the peace that you have. Because they know you. And they know what you've gone through. And when they see the peace of Christ living in you, it will become, I tell you, infectious. People will say, you know what? You've been here, and I just don't get it. You know, you lost this. You've lost this. Your health is bad. But you seem to have this calmness about you. You seem to have this peace. How do you do that? Remember, they asked. How is it that you have this calmness? How is it that you have this peace? Well, my friend, let me tell you about a friend. A friend who came to give you nothing but peace. I know that there are people overseas who are wanting to hear this peace. I don't know that any of us will ever go in harm's way to deliver that peace, but I know that there are those who are doing that, people that we're helping to support through Lotha Ministries and with this Christ's birthday offering, a number of those funds are going overseas to help those to tell people about the peace that only our Father can bring to a family. Let me close. As far as we know, it was quiet in Bethlehem. It was a quiet night, a peaceful night that Jesus was born. The peace that is Christ brought remains in you for me and for all those who believe. But bringing peace to the world was costly. It was costly. We've been talking through this Advent, what it cost Mary, a teenage girl with child, and everyone looking around like, Mary, you messed up. It cost Joseph his reputation. Joseph, did you and Mary? And he's like saying, no, I didn't. But he said it in such a graceful way because his word says Joseph was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. It costs mothers in and around Bethlehem the massacre of their children. When King Herod put out that order. And if you don't know about that, please read God's word, because
Herod didn't have peace. He wasn't about the Prince of Peace. He was all upset. He says, okay, every child 2 years and under, they're done. It cost the shepherds time to go to the manger and tell others what they saw. It cost the wise men their journey, even with expensive gifts and trying to avoid being killed themselves because they're supposed to come back and say, oh, this is where the Christ child is at. It cost God his son a life of sacrifice and service, and death on a cruel tree unmatched his history. We give thanks to God for the peace of Christmas. May we be willing to pay the price to keep and share this peace. I pray that each and every one of us would be ambassadors of peace, to be able to share with those in our homes, in our jobs, about the peace that the Prince of Peace brought. Will you please stand?